that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rutland Federal Credit Union, Anderson McQuaid Architectural Molding, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And he popped him up. Sky high on the infield. Xander Bogaerts backing up. He's under, and he's got it. And the Red Sox win it 6-5.
And he can breathe easy now. The Red Sox four-game losing skid is over.
It's an important win last night for the Red Sox. Don't kid yourself. Important victory. He sort of reversed the flow there a little bit. Yankees had crept to 2.5. They lose to the Indians. You beat the Blue Jays. 3.5 it is, and Chris Sale on the mound tonight. All things to feel good about, right? Right? Not necessarily. Baseball Report is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, supplying contractors and homeowners with residential and commercial building materials since 1946. You can check them out at jacksonlumber.com. We'll open up the phone lines right away. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. Again, 617-779-0985. So you want to jump in fast. There are three real primary topics on this program tonight, and I'll tell you what they are in order. One is the guy who's on the mound tonight. We'll get to him in a minute, Chris Sale. Number two, that play by Rafael Devers last night at third base is a big play. And three, the catch by Kevin Pillar, which I personally think is wildly overrated. Wildly, that catch that Pillar made last night. So, I don't know, maybe I've just seen too much baseball, and whenever I say that, I sound like some sort of jackass who says, I've seen so much baseball that they don't know, nothing really impresses me anymore. I'm telling you that there are certain catches you look at and you say, that one was dressed up a little bit. Then there are others you look at and you say, wow, that was real. The one last night felt closer to being dressed up than it did to being real. But we'll get to that later on. Again, 617-779-0985. Here's what I want to start. Chris Sale has lost two starts in a row. The Red Sox have not lost three straight Sale starts all year long. Okay, they've not lost three straight Sale starts all year long. This month, his ERA is 5.40. So the easy thing to do with Sale is to look at it and say, well, this is just a blip. A couple of bad starts back to back. Except that the reality is, and I told you this back in April and May, when he was pitching well, that watch out for August and September with Chris Sale, because his history suggests that he could run into a wall at the end of the season. I told you that way back when. And honestly, I was ridiculed for it, which is fine. It's part of the deal, particularly in this part of the job. Written word versus spoken word, completely two different things. And when I went to talk radio a long time ago, I knew what came with the territory. I had to learn some of it too, but I generally knew what it was. So let me tell you, when you really look at Chris Sale's history here, Murray, what do you think Chris Sale's ERA is career before the All-Star break?
2.25, 2.30.
2.74.
Okay.
He's 59-22 career. A winning percentage of .728 with a 2.74 ERA before the All-Star break. Okay? So let's just do, I'll tell you what, so I don't bog you down with too many numbers. Winning percentage before the break, .728. Winning percentage after the break, .460. He has a losing record in his career after the All-Star break. And I know what's coming from all the new age stat geeks and the nerds that when you look at the winning percentage, it's a horrible way to evaluate pitching, to which I would generally agree. Say, fine, no problem. So let's look at something like ERA. ERA before the All-Star break. Chris Sale, 2.74. After, 3.3. Now, the second number's not bad. I mean, it's still a good number. 3.3 is a good number, but there's a half a run difference there. There's more than a half a run difference there. So you want to look at some of the other metrics? He's allowed the same number of home runs before and after the All-Star break, except the difference in innings is about 170. So home runs per nine, up after the All-Star break. Strikeout to walk ratio, up after the All-Star break. Whip, up after the All-Star break. Tell you what, let's do month-by-month ERA with Chris Sale in his career. Starting in April, 291, 257, 266, 266 through July. One more time. April, May, June, July. 291, 257, 266, 266, August, 331. And now the really bad news, September, 379. Meaning, it could get worse. So as good as it Sale has been to this point, and when you say, okay, maybe he's hitting a little bit of a wall, what you've seen in August might not even be rock bottom. Rock bottom might be coming in the month of September when he has a career ERA of 3.79. Now, look, I am not trying to tell you that this is the end of the world is coming. All I'm telling you is there's a pattern with Sale. It's been there his whole career. And when he was with the White Sox last year, he went into spring training saying, I want to cut down on the number of pitches I throw during the course of the year. That was an objective for him last year. He was trying to be more pitch efficient. The strikeouts went down. And the excuse we heard from people about his second half fade was that the White Sox were out of it. He was pissed off. He cut up the uniforms. All of that might be true. It might be. I'm telling you, I'm taking his whole career here. I'm looking at it now, and I'm telling you that the ERA goes up in the second half, and it goes up in August, and then it goes up even higher in September. That's his entire career. And now, in August, he has an ERA of almost 5.5, with one start remaining tonight against the Blue Jays. He's lost 2 in a row. The Red Sox haven't lost 3 straight Sale starts all year long. This should be an easy win for him tonight. And if he pitches well tonight, honestly, that doesn't make the problem go away. The problem is still there. Number one on your list of concerns for the Red Sox in the months of September and October, because they're going to get to October. Whether it's as a division champion or as a wild card team, they're going to get to October. Number one on your list of concerns should be the durability of Chris Sale. Because if Sale slips and pitches like a number two or three starter, you're not going to win. I don't think. I mean, I wouldn't bet on them to win. But if some of the other things happen, you know, they don't hit in spots or whatever, they still might be able to overcome it. If Sale goes down, or when I say goes down, if Sale's performance slips, forget it. You're screwed if that happens. So watch him tonight. Pay attention to it tonight. It might just be a Cleveland thing, too. I heard that one. And he has had trouble with the Indians. They saw a lot of him in the American League Central. They saw a ton. But again, does that account entirely for the August and September numbers? September typically is a division month, so maybe that's a contributing factor. You're seeing teams in the division late in the year, and now you have two factors in play. One, you're seeing the same teams. Two, you're seeing them late in the year when Sale isn't quite as sharp. So, to me, watch Sale tonight. Watch them. Because that is the number one issue here going down the stretch. They're up 3.5 in the division. They should win the division. If they don't, they're going to get in as a wild card team. They're just too far ahead in the wild card race to blow that one, I think. I mean, what is the Yankees lead in the wild card race now? The Yankees got to be up a couple of games, I think, in the wild card standings, and the Red Sox are 3.5 in front of the Yankees. So you're looking at a 6 or 7 lead in the wild card race. You're going to be in the playoffs. But what is Chris Sale going to look like when they get there? What's Chris Sale going to look like? To me, that is the big question with the Red Sox. 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off tonight with James, who's in Beverly.
Yeah, so thanks for taking the call, Matt. Just wanted to hear your and Murray's intake on this. My thing with Sale is, and what is it, three straight starts where he's really struggled. You can't get anything out of him like you saw out of Pomerantz last night, like Farrell was saying. Pomerantz wasn't sharp. You can't really get those type of outings out of Sale. It's either hit or miss, and in my opinion, just wanted to hear what you guys thought about that.
So, James, I'm not ready to say that, but you understand his point, Murray? The idea that last night Pomerantz didn't have it. Pomerantz had to grind his way through that game, and he was able to do it. If you were to ask me to pick which guy I want to try to grind his way through a game, Sale or Pomerantz, I'm taking Sale.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so and so his suggestion is that, you know, Sale gets bombed and he's out in the third inning. I think that can happen to Pomerantz too. Like, let's not kid ourselves and all of a sudden think that Drew Pomerantz is some type of warrior. He didn't have the reputation of being a warrior when he came to Boston. And I will say it again, Murray, just so everybody's on the same page. Okay? I don't regret what I said about Drew Pomerantz back on May 15th or whenever it was. He was acting and pitching like a bum.
And after that Oakland series, he has since turned into last year's Rick Porcello.
So now, and I said this at the time of the trade, if Pomeranz ends up giving him a couple of good years afterward. And you know what? Even this year alone is probably enough to justify that deal. They've needed him this year. Without Price, they've needed a guy to step up in that rotation, and Pomeranz has done it. So I was wrong about Drew Pomeranz.
And for me with Chris Sale.
At least up to now I have been. Let's see what he does here down the stretch.
For me with Chris Sale, just real quick, I understand the concern looking at those numbers, how he tends to drop in the second half of the season past the All-Star break. But these teams that have lit him up recently, he has bad career numbers against, especially the Indians. So I'm going to take it with a grain of salt, and I expect him to be back to form tonight.
So, look, he should win this game. This is a layup. Toronto sucks. I mean, that lineup sucks. The team sucks. They've quit, all of it. It should be a layup. If he has a bad one tonight, that's a really bad sign. But again, I don't think necessarily a good game means he's out of it, because the history with him is just too clear. Also, with regard to Pomeranz, when I say I want to see what he looks like down the stretch, let me just clarify. Okay, if he has a shaky month and a half, I'm not going to rip the trade again. I'm not going to do that. They've gotten more out of him than I thought. I'm just telling you, I'm worried about the workload on him, too. He's not a guy that has a history of throwing 240 innings every year and finishing strong. So let's see how that one shakes out.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com. The Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Maserati, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tuesday nights, typically during the season, we had Jared Carabas alongside. Jared's obviously in New York now, starting a new thing down there with Barstool. He's doing a TV show with Dallas Braden. So he lives in New York. We are still trying to work out some of the technical issues with getting Jared on the program for the full hour. Okay, we're going to try to get him by phone here later in the show tonight. So if you're a Barstool fan or you're a Jared Carabas fan, we will have him on a little bit later in the show. And there's plenty to talk about, not just with the Red Sox, but around baseball. Which brings me to this real quick. And I'll say this fast because I do want to get to the phones on the Red Sox. Chris Sale's start tonight is important. It's an important start for him. With the storm down in Houston and the flooding down in Houston, the Astros recently asked the Texas Rangers to swap home series. I think they're going in. Is it this weekend they're going in there? Right? I think they're due to play this weekend. And so the Astros asked the Rangers to flip home series, meaning that Texas would have to play a series on the road in Houston later in the year, in September. And it coincides with the time where Texas is going to be on the road for three other cities. The bottom line is, by doing so, Texas would have ended up with a 12-game road trip in the month of September.
And be on the road for two straight weeks.
Okay. The Rangers rejected Houston's request. Okay, Houston can't play at Tropicana Field right now, for obvious reasons. So the Rangers rejected the request. How do you feel about that, Murray?
I don't blame them. If I'm in the shoes of their general manager, is it John Daniels? You know, selfish. Look, this is bigger than baseball, what's happening in that part of Texas. I understand that, but it's not like they crossed their arms and said no. They were willing to acquiesce here and help out. But when it came to that particular situation, I don't blame them, because they're in the wild card race. And if I'm in his shoes, I'm thinking about myself as well. And that if, you know, we just come up a little bit short, my head could roll. And selfishly, I know that's pretty selfish considering everything else that's going on, but I have to protect myself, too, and my job. And in John Daniels' case, I don't want my team on the road for two straight weeks. And, you know, we're in the wild card race here, and that ultimately could end up costing us. And we're trying to squeeze in.
So the series actually is they're playing tonight. Okay, they're playing tonight. I don't think they played last night. But they start the series tonight, and that one is being played in Tampa, right? Jimmy Stewart, that they relocated the series to Tampa. These are home games for the Astros, but they're being played in Tampa. And you know what I say to the Rangers? Oh, you losers. What a horrible look for the Rangers. And Murray, I hear you on the competitive part of it, okay? I do. I get it. It's business. It's big-time business. And the Rangers think that they can get into the playoffs. Here's what I would say to them. You're under 500. You're under 500. Now, look, their home run record, conveniently enough, is pretty stark. The contrast is pretty stark. So the Rangers want to stay at home. I get it. Like, they have a winning record at home. They're 8 or 10 games over at home, something like that. On the road, they're just the opposite. They've been dreadful on the road this year, so they don't want to lose home games. And I would say to them, you've had 132 games, and you think you're good? You traded away Yu Darvish at the deadline. You traded him away. Now, all of a sudden, you think you can make the playoffs? Why didn't you keep Darvish?
I know it's, look, again, I know it's a bad look, but I know, if I'm just trying to be honest, if I'm in that guy's shoes and I kick that upstairs to Nolan Ryan and whoever the rest of the ownership group is there in Texas, and they said absolutely not, then I ain't going to fight it. They've donated money. They've been willing to work with the Houston Astros. I'm still worried about myself, and I'm still worried about my team trying to make a playoff push here. And I'm not gonna acquiesce at the end of that road trip where my team's gonna be on the road for two straight weeks.
So look, I know at the end of the day, nobody here gives a rat's ass. But the part of it that really goes up my canal is the idea that they traded away Yu Darvish at the deadline. They traded him away, and now all of a sudden they think they're gonna make the playoffs, and you can't switch a series with the Astros. Oh, what a bunch of jack wagons. Really unbelievable. But enough on that. Jim is in a car, wants to talk about the Red Sox. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, Tony. You know what my problem is? I eat supper like at 5:30, and then you come on, and I have to like immediately look for the Imodium AD. You know I love you, but listen to me. You've been consistently wrong all season about the Red Sox. You started with your foolishness on you didn't like Kimbrel, you just didn't feel, I know you didn't feel comfortable. 33 out of 35, you didn't feel comfortable.
Hey, right. Jim, so wait, before you go on Kimbrel, okay?
Yeah.
Do you think Kimbrel was pitching as well at the very beginning of the season as he was capable of?
Say that, do I think he was pitching as well?
Do you think Kimbrel last year and Kimbrel this year are the same guy?
Well, I think, same guy as far as results.
Okay, but take
you're not the Russian judge.
So you think that they? So you think he's the same guy this year that he was last year?
I think he's more dominating this year. If you want my honest assessment, but to say you didn't have confidence in him when he was 33 out of 35 is just ridiculous. And then so that was how you started. That was like your kickstart to the season. Pomeranz, you know, clearly the guy was hurt last year, the second half of the season. You forget he made the All-Star team. He was hurt the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. Now he's healthy, and look what he's doing. And, you know, I called up after he had won four in a row, and you said, I'm still not convinced. So I don't know. I mean, he's fifth in the league in ERA. I don't know if you finally have seen the light or not.
No, I've seen the light on Pomeranz. He's had a hell of a year. I said that at the beginning of the show. Murray will vouch for me on that, right? That I did acknowledge a mistake on Pomeranz. So.
You actually have a couple of times.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Okay, good. You've seen the light. So then I think it was right after the trade deadline, the question was, who do you feel better about winning the AL East, the Yankees or the Red Sox?
Correct.
And your answer was?
The Yankees.
Okay. So have you seen the light on that yet? Or?
Well, no, this one's not over yet. It's 3.5.
No, you said you felt that the Yankees were in a better position.
I did at the time, yeah.
But why? What you think? So basically what you're saying is you think that they're a better team.
I said that I think the Yankees with that bullpen were a scary group at the deadline. That's what I said. Now, the bullpen hasn't been as good as I thought, and frankly, Canely to me, I'm a little unimpressed. Okay, Canely throws hard, but whatever. But I look, I'm telling you, it's not over yet. You get four in New York this weekend. So now look, I know you think I'm rooting against the Red Sox. I'm not rooting against them. I just question whether they really have what it takes to be a championship team. Okay, that's what I question in the Red Sox. If you think I'm wrong on that, that's fine. We will disagree on it. No big deal. But if they get it, even if they win the division and they get in and lose in the first round, does that make the season a success or a failure? Because I think it makes it a colossal, colossal failure if they get bounced in the first round. Okay, I do. Jay is in Scituate. Go ahead, Jay.
Maz, I heard you earlier on Felger and Maz talking about the Pilar catch, and I couldn't be 100% more in your corner. Last night, I got my 12-year-old daughter sitting on the couch next to me, care less about this game, playing on her iPhone, and I said, watch this. And I rewind the DVR because I like to see good plays over again. I said, this is the type of guy that likes seeing himself on SportsCenter. He totally could have just reached out. He might have tumbled after for stretching. Absolutely no reason to dive on that catch.
Yeah, Jay, look, he dressed it up. If you ask me, he dressed it up. So is Pilar a good outfielder? Of course he's a good outfielder. The American League East is stacked with terrific center fielders. I mean, you got them all over the place, for crying out loud, except in New York, where the center fielder sucks. But that's another story for another day. I was right about him. Who was the guy 2 calls ago? I was right about Ellsbury. You were probably one of the people that was singing Ellsbury's praises while he was here about how great Ellsbury was. And let me tell you, I was right on Ellsbury. Overrated. Overrated. He was overrated when he was here, and he's certainly overrated now that he's getting his $22 million a year. Ellsbury was never as good as that contract. Never. So I was right on Ellsbury. But the defense in the American League in center field is fabulous. Pillar is one of those guys. He's a good outfielder. That play last night? Oh, please. It was a good catch. It wasn't a great catch. Watch it again. Whenever a guy dives and he's going, you know, unless you're catching the ball down by the turf on a dive, you probably didn't have to dive. With all due respect, the whole point of diving is that the ball's about to hit the grass, and you better catch it before it does, because once it hits the grass, it's a hit. But if you're jumping and catching it at eye level, well, then you probably didn't need to jump. If you just kept running, you would have caught it.
No, it was to me, it was a really good catch. I'm not really poo-pooing it as much as you are, but it's not like the greatest thing I've ever seen. It's not Jeter diving into the stands. It's not even Austin Jackson for Cleveland 4 weeks ago, whatever it was, here at Fenway. Like, those are better catches.
Oh, please, dime a dozen, Murray. That catch last night was a dime a dozen. Like, if you ask me among the greatest catches I've ever seen, and I don't know how many I could rattle off, that one wouldn't even, I won't even remember that catch.
Well, like the Willie, do you put that on par with like the Willie Mays basket catch? Please.
No, please, yeah. No, God, no! I'll tell you, I can remember one that Brian McCray made years ago at Fenway Park, where he ran face first into the center field wall. That was a hell of a catch, like, because I remembered it. This one, you think I'm going to remember that catch last night?
You forget about it by Friday.
I forgot about it this morning. I didn't even remember when I went to bed last night. I was surprised that people were talking about it as much as they were.
Scale of 1 to 10, the Coco Crisp catch against the Mets.
Also overrated.
Thank you.
It was also an overrated catch.
Excellent.
It's another one. I mean, it was a good play. But again, dime a dozen. Murray's Get Your Headlines. We'll see if we can get Carrabas on the phone, and we'll continue talking about Chris Sale's late-season struggles and the potential ramifications for the Red Sox. All of that next.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The 1-1. Here's Devers behind the bag. Fair ball. He's coming home. Here's the throw. He got him.
That's what I'm talking about. Attaboy. Too far of a throw to go all the way across the diamond with Pilar speed. That's pre-pitch. My man had it figured out.
Donaldson out at home on a force play.
Jimmy, can you get that highlight again at the end of it? It says Devers made the judgment pre-pitch that Pilar was the batter. Pilar gets down the line. Pilar runs pretty well, right? He covers a lot of ground. He's a center fielder, as we know. All of that. So Pilar can move a little bit. And that ball was a sort of a topspin bouncer that took Devers into foul territory. And so pre-pitch, he knew he wasn't going to get Pilar at first. He went home and got the force out at the plate. Play the audio again. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Oh, he got him! That's what I'm talking about. Attaboy. Too far of a throw to go all the way across the diamond with Pilar speed. That's pre-pitch. My man had it figured out.
Okay, see, I don't think it was totally pre-pitch, because I watched this replay a couple of times and I saw a great angle of it. And we'll get to Jared Carrabas here in 1 minute. But I saw a great angle of it on a camera shot from behind the plate where you could see Devers' eyes. And when Devers fielded the ground ball, he was looking at first, and he was going to throw to first, and he realized, I'm not going to get him.
That's pre-pitch. My man had it figured out.
So it's not totally pre-pitch, and this is the part of the play that that actually impressed me, is that he made the decision on the fly. Like, he looked at it and said, I'm not going to get him. My best chance is home, and then adjusted. And that is so hard to do as quickly as he did it, because a lot of guys start to make the throw and then stop and have to reposition their bodies. Devers was doing it on the fly. Like, and it's just so many guys on that ground ball will eat the ball, end up throwing it nowhere, not having an out. right? Devers made the read on the fly and got a big force out at the plate. Red Sox get out of the inning. They could have easily been down multiple runs there. They end up going ahead later on a home run by Vasquez. Now, he opened the game up a little bit, and then they needed that because Kimbrel wasn't super sharp in the ninth. He gave up a home run and honestly almost gave up another one. If you remember, right before the smoke homer, there's a ball hit to the base of the center field wall. So the Red Sox narrowly escaped last night, but they needed the win, and now Chris Sale goes to the mound tonight, and I think it's an important outing for Sale. Joining us now, Jared Karabas via the AT&T Expert Hotline. Karabas, obviously, at Barstool Sports. Do you think it's as important a game for Chris Sale as I do?
Not really, no. I don't put any specific stress on the importance of it. I mean, obviously, last night helped with the Yankees losing and the Red Sox winning, but are you talking about it being, you know, a big start for him because of the way that he pitched against Cleveland?
Two starts in a row. I don't think he's been great two starts in a row.
But it was against Cleveland. I mean, his worst two starts have been against the Cleveland Indians. I do think that if you're asking me if that's a concern, I am concerned about Chris Sale against the Cleveland Indians. There's definitely something to that. But if you look at his numbers against every other team, if you look at his numbers in general, he's still a phenomenal pitcher, arguably the best in the league. But yeah, I'm not worried about Chris Sale. I'm worried about him if Cleveland is a potential postseason matchup.
Okay, Jared, do you think that Sale fades in the second half or the stretch runs of seasons?
Yeah, I mean, the numbers would indicate that there's a little bit, like career-wise, he definitely fades a little bit in the second half. I don't think that it's drastic enough. Like, we're not talking about a 2.5 ERA in the first half and a 5 ERA in the second half. There is a little bit of an uptick in ERA traditionally in his career, but it's not drastic enough to the point where, you know, we're expecting this big drop-off in Chris Sale's performance where you can't really trust him in the month of September.
Okay, so it's about half a run, first half to second half, right? First
half? That's not drastic enough for me.
Okay, what about August and September? Have you looked at those numbers?
I just remember looking at first half and second half. What are the month-by-month breakdown?
Okay, so his August career ERA is 3.31, which, again, isn't bad, right? I mean, that's still
pretty good.
Yeah, still pretty good. It's as, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll give you month-by-month. April, 2.91. May, 2.57. June, 2.66. July, 2.66. So May, June, and July, 2.57, 2.66, 2.66. I mean, almost identical all 3 months. He's the same pitcher May, June, and July. August, 3.31. Again, a little bit of an uptick, as you said, compared to overall. It goes up, you know, half a run. September, 3.79. So he starts closing in on an ERA of 4. This is a guy who in May, June, and July pitches at an ERA of about 2.5. That doesn't worry you at all?
Not really. I mean, it's not like, again, if you
it's because you're an optimist, Jared.
No. It's just if it's 3.79, say a guy's ERA is 3.79 for the whole year. You're going to say that guy sucks? You don't trust him with the ball?
No, I'm just telling you that guy's not really an ace, though.
Yeah, well, that's just a one-month sample. It's 3.79. If Chris Sale's ERA for the whole year was 3.79, now you're talking about, okay, that's, you know, it's still not horrible. It's not 4. It's still, you know, decent enough to be under 4.
If he pitches with a 3.79 ERA in October, can they win it?
Yeah. I do think so, yeah.
See, I don't.
Well, I mean, if you look at what Corey Kluber did last year for the Indians, and he went into Game 7 with an ERA under 1, and then he collapsed in Game 7. So it's, you know, yes, they're going to need that bulldog guy because, you know, Drew Pomeranz is averaging like 5 1/3 innings per start. And if you take out the injury starts, I'm sure it's closer to 6, but that's not an ace. David Price is probably not going to come back. And if he does, I would imagine it would be in a bullpen role. Rick Porcello is not leading you to a championship. So, yeah, Chris Sale is going to have to be Chris Sale. But a 3.79, I'm not looking at that and saying, you know, oh, all bets are off. This is a complete collapse. He's horrible. Like, it's not great. It's not in like the mid twos like those other months that you described. The 3.79 is not like discouraging for me.
No. So listen, I never said it was bad. I'm just telling you that he's not as good, and I think they need him to be dominant, Jared. I do.
How many guys are though? Like, give me, like, if you went to like Clayton Kershaw and compared it to like these other guys. Like, how many other guys, if you look at the month by month, are getting better in the month of September. Like, I'm sure that a majority, or at least a decent amount of pitchers, are probably fading in the second half. That just happens over the course of a season.
Okay, so I worry about it with a 6'6 guy who's 6'6 and 180 pounds soaking wet, who's never pitched in the postseason.
Well, that's the bigger concern. I would be more concerned not about September, but October, because that's uncharted waters for him, especially considering he's thrown more innings than anybody. He's thrown more pitches than anybody. And he kind of abandoned that whole philosophy of I'm going to try to strike out less guys so that I can go deeper in the starts. He's kind of done both this year. He's still gone deeper in the starts, and he struck out a ton of guys. I kind of look at that as my concern would be more on October than the month of September.
Okay, so look, all I'm telling you is that I worry about the wear and tear effect. That's all. I mean, I say it's a big start for Sale. If Sale pitches well tonight, Jared, he doesn't cure me of my, you know, my psychotic tendencies, like I or my pessimistic tendencies. I don't look at it and say, well, if he has a good start tonight, everything is fixed. I think that this is something that you got to watch here down the stretch. And you mentioned Corey Kluber last year, right? Corey Kluber had a fabulous postseason last year for the Cleveland Indians. In fact, through his first, five postseason starts, he had an ERA of 0.89.
Yep.
And then in Game 7 of the World Series, 4 innings, 6 hits, 4 runs. Right? You still there?
Yes. Okay. No, I was waiting for you to continue.
Okay. It was his second straight start, though, on 3 days of rest. So what I'm saying is they changed the routine to push Kluber at the end. So I almost look at the last start of the postseason and say, it got to Game 7. They said, you know what? We're going to take our chances with Kluber. Because remember, Cleveland's pitching staff was a mess. And ultimately, right, it wasn't enough. They ended up losing the game. They almost won it, but they ended up losing the game. As great as he was, it wasn't enough. And I'm telling you, if Sale doesn't pitch at a high level, I just don't. If he's not in the area he's been in for the majority of the season, in the twos, with their offensive difficulties.
Like you said, though, you were talking about like comparing Cleveland's pitching staff to Boston's this year. They were going with Trevor Bauer and Josh Tomlin to round out their rotation. And are you taking Drew Pomeranz and Rick Porcello over Josh Tomlin and Trevor Bauer?
Well, sure. Yeah. But I'm telling you that if... Do you have confidence?
The Red Sox will depend on Chris Sale.
Jared, do you have confidence in Porcello in October?
I don't really have confidence in anyone in October. We don't know. We don't know. I mean, Rick Porcello is never factored into any postseason run in Detroit. And that's not really an indictment on him. That was just using a rotation with Scherzer, Price, and Verlander, and Sanchez. And then we have the one start to go off of in Cleveland. David Price, I wouldn't even factor into this. Chris Sale is a virtual unknown, and so is Drew Pomeranz. And there's a lot of unknowns going on here with the Red Sox rotation going into October.
Okay, so you're worried about, you acknowledge the October thing is real, but you don't think the durability thing with Sale is real.
No. What I said is I'm not concerned about September. I'm concerned about October. When you were talking about his numbers and, going up to 3.79 in September, you know, we don't know what Chris Sale is like in October. There's no data to support, once he gets to the postseason, he can kind of, fade a little bit in September, but once the October lights turn on, then he's got like a 1.7 or whatever. We don't know. We don't know that yet.
Okay, so are you, when you say you're concerned about October, is it because you'll think the moment is too big for him, or is it because of durability?
I think it's not so much durability as it is just the innings. It's just his body. Like, I don't think he's going to break down and get injured, but I think that if you look at the innings that he's thrown, the pitches that he's thrown, his body, I'm just, you mentioned the build. How is he going to respond to going beyond the normal amount of innings that he's sort of built up over the last 7 years of his career? And some guys don't respond well to that. So I think that the best of the best do, like Corey Kluber. I mean, we saw, like, there was no talk at all about that being Kluber's first postseason. That was, like, no one even mentioned that. They were just like, yeah, Kluber's an ace, former Cy Young Award winner. Let's see what he can do. And then off he went, and he dominated. And like you mentioned, he was on short rest for that last start where he wasn't very great. But up until that point, he dominated. So there's still reason to believe that Chris Sale, just because he, that's the one thing that, like, kind of bugs me, is just because a guy hasn't been there yet, there's an assumption that he's not going to be good. People assume that with Chris Sale coming to Boston. Oh, he pitched in Chicago where no one pays attention and there's no media attention. You know, everyone comes to Boston and they fail in the first year. Well, Chris Sale was one guy who definitely rose to the occasion. So I would take that as a positive sign in terms of how he's going to handle it mentally. Again, my concern is innings and number of pitches thrown, and how does that affect him, you know, pitching an extra month, hopefully, in October.
Okay, so Jared, when I say, and look, at not to belabor the point, when I say durability, though, I'm not just talking about injury. I'm talking about fatigue and the ability to continue to pitch at a high level when the innings pile up. So to me, that is durability, just to clear the semantics part of it, but I don't want to badger you with the point. Look, when I say it's an important start for him, I'm worried about Chris Sale not being at his best in September and October. I am worried about that because his track record suggests that he has had some, not a lot, some difficulty there late in the season. But I badgered you enough, and I know you got bigger responsibilities now because you can't be on with us all the time, you know. So this is apparently is how it works. I have to.
I always got time for you, Tony. Whenever you need me, I'm there for you.
No, I know. I know you got bigger and better things now. You've moved on to the Big Apple in Manhattan and all that stuff, and so we got to squeeze you in when we can. But I appreciate it, Jared, as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, and thank you for having me on, and I'll be looking forward to talking to you after Chris Sale's start, in which he probably goes out and pitches really well, and then Tony has to figure out what else to complain about.
Well, exactly. Thank you. And he should pitch well, because the Blue Jays suck. If he can't beat the Blue Jays, then I'm really worried. That's a story for another day. We're still trying to work out the technical issues, by the way, with Carrabas. See if we can get him on for like the whole show and he doesn't sound like he's on a phone. He'll actually sound like he's sitting next to me, which as far as you're concerned, driving in your car or wherever you are, is all that really matters.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com.